Friends, it's an honor now for me just to, well, I'm not going to introduce, but Juba, it's great to have you and your lovely wife here. And we're really looking forward to hearing what the Lord has placed upon your heart. And we open up ourselves, open our hearts unto you, and we pray that the Lord will touch your mouth, that He will touch your understanding, and that every word that you will speak will be life-giving words that we will richly receive upon what we can build ourselves in Christ. Be blessed.
Good morning to all the saints here and so far of coming together and the tiger is not off. Okay. It is so wonderful to introduce these people this morning. My husband, Uncle Peter, as everybody knows him in the land of India, at the age of when most of the people go retire, God gave him this calling to India. And it came on a most remarkable way. And we thank the Lord for his obedience. You know, God only blesses us if there's instant obedience. So many of us say, Lord, Lord. But God said, don't say, Lord, Lord, if you don't listen to me. If you don't do the things I'd want you to do. And at that age, God sent him on a remarkable way, and he went to India. But actually, his call came to the people of Nagas. Now, Naga is in India, but they are not Indians, as you can see these people. And they live in a restricted area. And my husband had so many problems to get to that place. He was under arrest so many times. But God gave him this calling and he went to the Nagas. And in 1994 he went there for the first time and he couldn't go to Nagaland. And came back and he was so disappointed. But then God showed him something else. He said, look at the universities of India. These Nagas are all over in India in the universities. Go and visit them in the universities. And that's how finally my husband came to Delhi. And he went to a university. And all the people, or no, not all, but many of these students were in a place where they stayed. Because they were not Hindus. And the rest of India is Hindus, as you know. But these people had a very big revival in the year 79. And they came out of the ways that I had, and they became Christians. So Juba and Alam is second generations Christians. Then my husband stayed at a place called Tiranus Hall, where many of these students that came from Nagaland stayed. And that was in 97. And there he met Juba for the first time. But at that year, Juba was doing his M in political science. And my husband prayed and said, God, I see you have an anointing on him. And there was different students. And then later on, we had the Bible school, which our son Peter Jr. had. And Juba came from India and he studied with us for 6 months. And then he went, and Peter, my son, Peter Jr., and they traveled with a few other people right through India. And since then, God blessed him and used him to go out into the places where God has not been preached, where they do not know God. And we want to thank God for these children out of the Nagas. They told my husband years ago that they want 10,000 missionaries to go out of Nagaland. And my husband said, why do you just still pray for them? You are already missionaries scattered all over the universities of India. Just be light. And that's how they met. And Juba is going on continuously with his work. They climb over mountains. They go by rope over rivers. Nothing stopped these people. And we thank God for the zeal of the Lord that is in these nations. Amen. I don't know if you know where is Nagaland. You have China right here. You have Myanmar down here. And it's right in the little corner there. They are under the jurisdiction of India, but they are not Indians. Thank you so much. Let's pray for Juba.
Amen. Father, we want to say thank you, Lord God, that you have sent your messenger to us on this morning. Father, we want to say thank you for that word that you have placed upon his heart. And Father, we want to say thank you, Lord, that you anoint him now, Lord, to speak your word accurately. And Lord, that every word that will proceed from his mouth, Lord, will be life-giving seed. We honor you, Lord, and we receive your prophet this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andy Murray, for the prayer and also the introduction. And JJ and the whole of the Shofar Church here. What is the name of this locality that we are gathering?
Tiger.
Tigerberg. Is that right? Yeah, the Tigerberg Shofar Church. Since last Sunday, we were privileged to be part of your church in different locations of the city. In the morning, last Sunday, I was privileged to bring the message at Shofar Church in Durban Valley. And then in the evening, I was again privileged to share the message with the students at the Shofar Church in Barrow. Is that right? Yes. And I see that every experience was different. And even this morning, as we join your fellowship, we can definitely sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we worship, this is how the worship should be. There should be freedom in the spirit. So you can just worship God in any way that you like. And the release will be there when we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As we were worshiping, this is just something not part of my message, but it came, it touched my heart. Our life is something like an airplane. Yeah? And when we look at the engineering of the big aircraft, unless the aircraft gives over to the engine that drives, the aircraft will be very difficult to move. It's very heavy. But when the engine decks over the entire aircraft, it's very easy. So much thousands of kgs of all this big aircraft, it can fly up in the air. And then it can go. Same thing is our life. When we try to drive our life in our own, it's very hard. But the moment we give over our life to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, allow this Holy Spirit to drive us, it's very easy. Even for us as ministers and servants of God, when we are invited for speaking, yeah, we cannot speak just something of our own. And it's very hard for us when we try to prepare a message in our own. It's very hard. But when we allow the Holy Spirit, you know, depending upon Him entirely, it's too easy. And even this morning, I completely depend upon the Holy Spirit to minister to me and to all of us. And you should not see me, Juba, but you should see only Jesus in me. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will speak and minister to all of us. I was privileged to meet two of our black brothers there in the evening service with the students. One of the name was Albert, and I saw him this morning, and I think he's right there. So Albert, I'm so happy, delighted to see you, and I'm sure God is doing great things in his life. And I really see Shofar Church is a church without walls. Where people of every race, language, culture can just freely come and worship. And this is how it's going to be in heaven one day. Yeah? So praise God. Before I move further, I would like to just lead us into a time of short prayer again. I'll just pray in my own dialect, freely. Let's look to God in prayer. E pakidang sindabali ba tulo asedila a chakibobai sunai moacha tanla demeshi na arungunuk tangi o kiboba tanyangi khkinang tsugna e pa south africa cave don no aru kiboba nai hapta asum mongdak chul tanne dadam sadi buwa aniku o kiboba nai tanla gajongdok dakchung manu tanna tanla khama khatsi kibobai sunai bakidang nungi nukti yugmano Saga kibubai su krisa tenanong nai unuk ta shimai acak akincha. I pa palbit acunga i su de mechi sindia zaki nai mishiducha. I pa kidang kibuba ne tinzakar sana krianir nitsung kibuba ne chirdam kuiga chala jabasunum sindabalir. O kibuba i su netala de mechi alur nai simtangane. Danala de mechi netaktang ni madalogur kibuba. Ni gasasa ni madalogur. Kibuat seram na ipali manungali dang isu. Nai ipa tenam nong. Kibuat ipa nai. Ipa sayu sengi ipa tanap cimbiza. Kibuat seram na ali mali nungali tang isu. Nai cimbiba ama tanap silakjang. Oh kibuat miyem prung tanala ajak sama jang. Ya ajak isu krista tenanong. Tebu seram nong sara semerjadi namung sang. Amen. This morning I would like to share something from a very familiar passage from the Bible. It's from Matthew chapter 5. And I have done this passage, Bible study with the students in India. But I have never preached in a church. So I will turn this Bible study into a sermon this morning as I bring to you all. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will open up your heart and mind to receive what he has to give to all of you. And here, when we look in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 1 until verse 10, you see that here is a very familiar passage where Jesus gave a sermon, and this location is from a mountainside. And there, people were flocking around in these days. There was so much of hunger for the word of God in the hearts of the people in this time. Almost 2,000 years back, when Jesus was walking on this face of the earth, and if you look at the vicinity of this region, it was Galilee. That's where Jesus began his ministry. Jesus was born as a baby, but he also needed to grow up, come to maturity, and it is said that it was almost at the age of 30 he began his ministry. And here, he began his ministry. As the word of God has prophesied from the Old Testament, Jesus was baptized, and then here, he began his ministry. Somebody filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, when Jesus delivered this message, this message was filled with power. And the Bible says, in the later part of this Sermon on the Mount, if you look in the last chapter of Matthew chapter 7, it says, towards the last, when he finished his preaching, people said, he taught not as the teachers of the law, but somebody who has authority. And that is what is needed, even today in our time in the church. Allow the Holy Spirit to take over the entire service from the beginning of the worship until to the last, when a servant of God delivers a message. And hear this in Matthew chapter 5. When we look at the background, it was in all these places, Galilee was a place where he started his ministry, but people came from all the surrounding places, from Jerusalem, from Decapolis, and then from all this Syria. People flocked around Jesus. And in this time, people were after Jesus. These days, preachers are after people. But in this time, people were after Jesus because there was something different in this man. And here, it was so much of people around him. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, I pause there. When we look in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament is, we know that it's Malachi. And the last verse ends up with curse. But amazing. Here is Jesus. He turns around the whole of the picture of the Old Testament. The curse of sin, He removes. He turns it around, the curse into blessing. And Jesus begins this wonderful sermon from this mountainside with the first word, blessed. He speaks blessing instead of curse. Chapter 5, verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Often on, I will be relying upon my manuscript. Excuse me for that. And here, as I mentioned, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I say this is the introduction to the kingdom of God. We enter into the kingdom of God, not as righteous people, but as sinners. The kingdom of God belongs to the sinners who come in repentance. And it's the Holy Spirit that does this conviction in us. If you look back, first Jesus, when He preached, He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And so, we are introduced into the kingdom of God as forgiven sinners. And so He begins, blessed are you sinners, poor in the spirit, broken. Poor in the spirit means what? Sinful. When we realize our sinfulness, when we come before the presence of God. The kingdom of God belonged in Jesus' time to the tax collectors, the adulterers. They came to the kingdom of God. But you know, the self-righteous people, the Pharisees, Sadducees, these days, they could not enter the kingdom of God because they were trying on their own. But the adulterers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, when they gave their life just as they were, they entered the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to them, blessed are those poor in the spirit, for kingdom of God, for the kingdom, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven belongs to the sinners who come in repentance. Now the following verse says, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you look at the meaning of the mourn, mourn means it is repentance. We come to the kingdom of God mourning of our sinful life, realizing our sinfulness when we come before God. Verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. By the way, blessed means it's derived from the Greek word makarios. Now, again, the meaning is translated into English as makarios, meaning it means supremely blessed. Or if you look in the English Oxford Dictionary, it is translated as lucky. And Jesus is telling here, lucky are the poor in the spirit, or is fortunate those repentant sinners. He goes on and says, and blessed, when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Word of God is so deep and powerful. I want to dwell a few minutes on this. When it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, there are many implicit meaning in these statements our Lord Jesus has made. Meek means humble and gentle. And this is the golden rule of the life in the kingdom of God. After we come into the kingdom, that spirit of gentleness comes to us. We cannot work this out from us. Now, this is the lifestyle in the kingdom that Jesus has introduced us. Yeah?
In the natural world, it is the arrogant, the aggressive, selfish, proud, and violent who rules the world, seems to be at the moment. Sometimes the righteous, humble, gentle seems to have no place in the reality world. Children of the world are arrogant, proud, while children of the kingdom are humble and gentle. However, you lose by being proud and aggressive in the kingdom where you live. When that old nature, if you try to let it come out and manifest in you, you are losing, in fact, in God's kingdom. Yet you win by being humble and submissive in the kingdom of God when you live. Meekness or being meek is suggestive of being submissive, submission first to our Lord Jesus and in return to one another in the body of Christ. So as you serve in the Shofar Church, submission to one another is very important. As children of God, God wants us to submit to one another. The congregation submit to the leadership of the pastor, and the pastor also submit to the authority of the body of Christ. And that's how God has designed the kingdom of God to be. It to be function. Meek and humble in the reality world seems to be unlucky. People take advantage of you when you are meek in the world. But later, this turns to be lucky. Let people run over you and climb on top of you. Those who always climb on top of others are the losers in God's kingdom. Human nature is you to be first, but in God's kingdom, let others be first. The last shall be first. In the long run, lucky, unlucky are lucky in the world. I would like to just say this, in the body of Christ, or outside in the world, in the long run, the meek shall inherit the earth. The children of the kingdom rules by meekness. In other words, meekness is power. But the moment you let that pride or proud manifest in us, you lose the power. I lose the power. Okay, let's move on. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Also Philippians 4, 5, if you look, let your gentleness be evident to all. In God's kingdom, I submit to you and you submit to me. If you violate this spiritual law, you lose your place in the kingdom. So, but then again, when we look in the present world, yeah, it looks like the proud, the aggressive seems to rule the world. But I would say, the future of the present that we live will belong to the kingdom children who are meek. Because ultimately, in the long run, it is the meek who is going to inherit the earth. Just one example. We all know Osman bin Laden was such a character in the world. Yeah, and we know his deeds. And okay, God has allowed him to be captured. And yes, he has been executed. Yeah, and the other day I was looking in the net. I was looking at the news, and I saw the place where he was living. Now it was deserted. And I saw just outside the house, I saw little kids playing cricket in that area. Yeah? And I was just reminded, there is no trace of this wicked people who seems to be aggressive, proud, who seems to rule over others, are no more now. Where is the place in the world today? They have no trace. Indeed, the future belongs to the meek. Now the next verse I would like to share is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We have come to learn that in verse 3 and 4, we are introduced into the kingdom of God as spiritual bankrupts, poor in the spirit. Now here, Righteousness, which means morally being right or good. Justifying, this is the justifying righteousness that Jesus gives to us in each and everyone who believes in Him. That comes through our faith in Jesus. And now as a result, just as a healthy, normal person has hunger and thirst in the body for the natural food or drink, this spiritual being that is born in us, there is a spiritual hunger and thirst that God creates in us. And so, in the morning, when you wake up, you long to have blessed quiet time with God. It's a spiritual hunger and thirst that God creates. You long and crave for the living Word of God, which is your spiritual sustenance, which is your spiritual food. And so here, Jesus is telling, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In natural sense, a healthy person naturally feels hungry, which is normal. And the person is healthy. But if a person doesn't feel hungry and thirsty, I'm sure that person is not healthy. And I would like us to just look at how is even the same in our spiritual life. Do you also have a checkup with Jesus? Yeah? Do you also have that spiritual appetite in you? As we come this morning, do you have that longingness to worship Him, to spend time in the Word, to spend quality time in prayer with Him? And if you sense that that is missing, maybe you go through a spiritual checkup with Jesus again. And Jesus says here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And when we look at the meaning of the merciful, it says, merciful means being compassionate, ready to forgive people, having an attitude of forgiveness towards others. And Jesus is saying here, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God wants us to show mercy as we live in the kingdom. When others are wrong, and you are right, yet show them mercy. But many a time, what we try to do is, we try to claim our rights. I am right. And that time, we lose that Christ-likeness character in us. God wants us to show mercies to others as we have received from God. Because if God has to keep the record of our wrongdoings, who can stand before God? But many times, we become judgmental. When others are wrong, it's very difficult for us to forgive to others. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So, being compassionate, forgiving towards others, should be a character of every child of God. Now, the following verse, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's talking about inner purity. Being clean and pure inwardly at heart. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, that was when God sent prophet Samuel to anoint David as the king over Israel. Jesus said, man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. The standard of God is He looks at the inner purity, not the outward purity. We can stand before man outwardly holy or clean, but God looks at the heart of every people. And it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Only if we are pure inwardly, we will see God. God will manifest to them. It's so true. And always it's so important for us to have this short account with God. If there's any unconfessed sins in our life, always keep short account with God. May our lives stand before God always as a transparent glass that can be looked through. And here I would like to conclude with this last verse. It's the seventh of the blessings that Jesus has pronounced. After this, Jesus has said, blessed are those who persecuted, but I will not dwell on that. But I would like to just finally conclude with this message. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. This is the seventh of the beatitudes, the blessings that Jesus has pronounced. But this is very profound when we meditate upon this very verse. To be called a child of God in the sight of God is one thing. But it is another thing to be proved to be called as a son of God. Do you get that difference? To be called a child of God in the sight of God is one thing, and prove to be called a son of God in the sight of the world is another thing. If you look at John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, for all those who receive Jesus, God gives us the right to become the child of God. And I'm glad that we all have received Jesus in our life and we are all sons and daughters in His kingdom. But it's a different thing when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. To be called as sons and daughters of God by the world, there is something that we need to know. And I would like to just share that with us. Here in this passage, when we look, the speaker himself, Jesus, he was the first peacemaker. Man broke peace with God. And God first took the step, He came towards us. He took the initiative to come and say sorry. And God sent His Jesus to take this initiative to us. And in the same way, God also expects all of us as God's kingdom sons and daughters. When there is a broken relationship, when there is a broken relationship between spouses, when there is a broken relationship between friends, colleagues, when there is a broken relationship between neighbors, God wants us as His sons and daughters to be the peacemakers. As God's children, as God's sons and daughters, we never stay claiming our right. As I always say, if we always claim our right, we disqualify to be sons and daughters of God in the kingdom of God. Yes, you may be right, and the other party is wrong. But healing cannot happen if there is no humility in the sight of the children of God. Taking the initiative like Jesus, how God sent Him. He first took the step to say sorry to us when we had this enmity with God because of our sin. And Jesus, in return now here, He expects from us, the kingdom children, to live differently when we live on this earth. And if we look around us, you will see in the family, you will see in the neighborhood, you will see in and around you, broken relationship. It could be in your workplace. Or again, look at a bigger picture. Today, praise God, we have this reconciliation with God. We have heard the message of the forgiveness of God. And we have received that and we are reconciled to God. But don't you not think that there are still many people living on this earth? They are not yet reconciled with God. There are many people group on this face of the earth. They are yet to be reconciled to God. And God is still waiting. And this task is upon us. I would like to just connect this to one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll just quickly read that to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18 to 20, if we read. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And this is the responsibility and the task that God has committed to us, the church. Us, God has reconciled us when we were away from Him. God is now in return sending us to people who are still yet to be reconciled to the Father. We are ambassadors representing God, representing Christ on His behalf. And He is sending us. I'm glad Shufa Church is called to be one of it. I'm so touched when I heard about the work of the Shufa Church during the last Convergence Conference 2 weeks back. And you have been to different parts of the world, to India, to the Middle East countries, to Thailand, to different places. God is sending you all. And this is the work, task that God has committed to all of us, to the Church of Christ. And we have a great work to be done. And Jesus is telling here, I want to conclude with this message. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. They will be called sons and daughters of God. When we go to this unreached people group, and we intercede on their behalf, and we share this message of reconciliation to them, we qualify that time to be called as sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. So we find here that today, it's one thing to become a son and a daughter of God, but it is another thing to be called as sons and daughters of God in the sight of God as well as in the world. So, we participate with God. And Jesus is telling here, you are blessed, fortunate, those who do His work. I would like to just end up with 2 testimonies after I had a Bible study on this Sermon on the Mount. God is so practical. And God revealed to me in my morning quiet times those messages that I was just preaching to you all. God is so practical, you know. One day as I meditate upon this it took me one day to reveal this one verses. And it is so long, we can go even deeper, and God's word is so deep, so rich. After God revealed to me this message in Matthew chapter 5, verse, what is that? This last verse that we have read, yes. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. After God revealed to me this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, go to our friend, he is also a missionary, but he has broken his relationship with his wife. And they were not divorced, but they were living in a kind of a separated life. Yeah, wife was, she already moved out of the house, and she was working somewhere else. And I went to this brother, and I shared this message with him. Brother, whatever may be the reason that has broken the relationship with you and your wife, as a child of the kingdom, you must say to your wife, for what has happened, I'm sorry, forgive me. And it was not so easy for this brother. But, okay, he said, I will do this, brother. And he went. But then he could not really meet with this wife. And the mother-in-law, the mother of the wife, she was also instrumental in their separation. He could manage to meet only the mother-in-law. And he got a very negative, you know, opposite of what he has done. But anyway, he has qualified in the sight of God. He has humbled himself to go and say, sorry for what has done. Now, I told my wife, I called her from the hospital one day, we must go and see this mother-in-law. We must be the mediator to mend this relationship that is broken. So we went. And unfortunately, it was the opposite. We actually bought some gifts. We bought some juice and things like that, from some food to eat. And we went to meet this mother-in-law. And we tried to speak to them. We tried our level best. And we also say sorry for what has done, what has happened. And but we feel that your daughter and the husband should be united. And she just said, no way. That was the reply we got. But anyway, we did not lose our heart. And we just prayed, God, we have done our part, we leave it unto you. And you know what? Amazingly, just last month, before I came here, this brother, he called me up back. Brother, how are you? He said, we have been out of touch for so many months. It happened last year, huh? And he said to me, you know what? My wife has come back. We are united. Amazing! Only the Holy Spirit can do. And the second thing after this incident was, last year in the month of October, my Naga Christian Fellowship, the church is similar to your Shufa Church. It's predominantly a students' community. And we were about to go for the church camp, annual camp that we used to have. And the church requested me if I can be the camp director that year. So I have to do a lot of job. Main thing is to mobilize, invite the students to come for the camp. And what happened was, Satan also placed every rule, you know, to keep the young people from coming. Something happened. Okay, we are from the Nagaland state in India. And this is from the northeastern part of India. There are a whole lot of other small provinces. There's another province called Sikkim. This is one of the smallest state. And it is in the, if you look in the India map, it's the bottle, we call it bottleneck. Yeah, it is just like India map is like this. It's like it's slimming down, and then again it's bigger, it goes. So Sikkim state is right in the bottleneck of this. So what happened? The Tun Pichi College, this whole lot of Naga students used to study there. And one evening, they were having a party, and there was a big fight that has happened between the Naga students and the students from the Sikkim state. So this was a fight between these two tribes, you know, from Naga tribe and the people from Sikkim. And this was such a big fight that has happened. Now, long story short, as I was going, mobilizing for this church camp, It was the day of the freshers social meeting that they were having from a hotel in the city. So I was there waiting outside for the function to be over so that I can catch my Naga students, invite them to come for the church camp. And as I was waiting, just all of a sudden, group of young people, they came in their motorbikes. And I sensed something is happening. And they came and parked their motorbike just around me. And then they were well-built muscle people. And so I smell something. Something is happening here. So I just took the cards to go and ask one of the brother there, anything has happened? And he said to me, fight happened between the Naga community and the Sikkimese students during a party previous night. And we came looking for the culprit who is inside. They think that the culprit is inside the social gathering that is going on. And so it's going to be a big fight, a war between the Naga tribe and the Sikkimese people. And I could really feel the evil spirit that was manifesting and working to stop the students from coming to the camp. So I just prayed alone in that very area. And I said, I took the guards. I told them, brothers, I'm very sorry. See, I am Mr. Chuba from Nagaland. And I'm one of the elders from Nagaland. And I'm really sorry. I don't know what was the reason that has caused this fight. But I apologize personally to them. Please forgive us for what has happened. I told them, sorry for this. And see, I'm not alone. I have a group of elders behind me. And we should solve this issue peacefully. Not to fight or things like that. And so I really asked them to cool them. Calm down. Cool down. And I told them, immediately I'm going to call the student leaders and also the elders. And immediately I called up our pastor. This is happening. Now you must gather all of our elders and the student leaders. So I also asked him to call the student president, and he came. So we gathered in our house, and then we prayed together and asked, it's going to be a big fight. It's going to happen. Now, what are we going to do? And we also realized that we must even involve the police to be the mediator in this. So, long story short, along with me, I took one of the elders. And we went to this area where this fight is going to be happen. Now we came to learn that they have already declared even the war zone. They allocated one place. The Nagas are coming from the other side. And the Sikkimese people are coming from the other side. It's going to be a big fight. And then all the Nagas, you know, the students, some are having all the sticks, the clubs. And they were just, you know, patrolling in and around the area. I said, please, boys, get inside the house. I asked all of them, please, we must not do this. And then somehow we could manage to control our boys. And then I took our brother. I let him park his vehicle at a distance because it's going to be damaged if anything happened. And then we went towards this. And the Sikkimese guys, these guys are waiting there. Just the place, the war zone that they have declared. And we're going there. So immediately, I tried to trace the student leader there among them. And he said, he's the one we quickly introduced. And here's a whole lot of mob. It's there. And here, only two of us, Nagas, yeah? And I was so mad when I come across, the culprit was just around. He's such a thin guy. He can be bashed up in just a few minutes gone. I got so mad at him. I told him, you go back. You go back, I told him. And I controlled him, and then I took this brother, his name is Geza, Andi Mari know him. And so we went to the victims because the Naga brothers have beaten up one of the Sikkimese guys. And these Sikkimese guys are telling so mad that how can 9-10 people bash up one person? And they have called the whole of the community, and there it is. So we went inside the house of these victims, and then there we were. These guys are, you know, they are so much higher, their blood pressures are raising up. And people all over the houses and then even outside, you know, they were just keeping a vigil. And it's so much on the verge of a war between the students of Nagas and the Sikkimese. So we went inside. We tried to solve the matter.
And we say, we are really sorry for what has happened. We apologize in the name of these victims. Please, forgive them. Forgive us for what has happened. And this night, if it has not been the intervention of the Holy Spirit, there could have been a big fight within our community. And this time, I realize, God is so practical. God spoke to me through this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 that says, verse 9 that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. To be called sons of God, it means something. There's a cost. Sometimes we have to move out and take the steps. And when we look at the heart of God, even God has to move out His Son. And it was painful even for God to mend this broken relationship with Him. And today I would like to conclude with this word. God is sending us to nations to mend broken relationship, not just between mankind, not just a horizontal relationship, but there are a lot of people around in the face of the earth who are yet to reconcile to God. There's a gap of relationship. And God is sending us as His ambassadors. This coming month in the month of first week of December, a group of your Shofar Church students are coming to India for outreach. And I'm just looking forward to take them to the northern part of India. It's the birthplace of the Hinduism, where there's a lot of idol worship that happens. And this people group are yet to be reconciled to God. And as they come, as a church, you must stand in prayer that God will do wonders, that this people group will be reconciled to God when they come, that the anointing of God will flow through your Shofar Church team and also through the Naga people who will be joining you all. And so we have a great work to be done together as a church. So as I share this message with you all, I want us to just continue to pray. Tomorrow, my wife and I will be departing from your country and to these places. First, our church will be making a trip, and the second trip will be your Shofar Church. And there is such a great need to be done in these areas. So I want the entire church to stand behind in prayer. At the end, I would like to just conclude with a word of prayer. Let's all close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge your presence this morning as we share from your word. Father, I pray that whatever seed of your word that has been sown in our hearts, let it bear fruit 100-fold, 80-fold, 60-fold. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will take control of our lives. May your Holy Spirit take control of this Shofar Church. That, Lord, they will know the will of the Father. Father, I pray for the team that is coming to India in the month of December. Prepare their hearts and mind from now on. Equip them spiritually, Father. And Lord, I pray that you will send the team anointed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray, we look forward for the days of reconciliation of this people group that are yet to be reconciled to you. And Lord, you will call us, blessed are you, my child, my son, my daughter, who are the peacemakers. To be peacemakers, you are sending us out to the world. I pray, Father, that may this message ring in our heart even as we go away from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you all.